Tivet was elected speaker, the first woman to hold the post, and another relatively unknown politician from Macron's party. France is the second-to-last country in the European Union to have a woman head a House of Parliament. By denying Macron a majority, French Parliament is poised to play a bigger role than at any time in the 21st century. However, they face an executive branch which has repeatedly found ways to either sideline or bypass them. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Islamophobic abuse is something most Muslims living in Britain have to deal with, but many were shocked to discover just how dangerous the problem has become. After shocking statistics have been revealed which show a large number of British mosques have become regular targets of hate crime. According to survey data gathered by the Muslim Engagement and Development Group, also known as MEND, and in cooperation with Muslim Census, 42% of mosques and Islamic institutions have faced attacks in the past 3 years, and 35% experienced a religiously motivated attack at least once a year, with racial and religious aggravated offences increasing 15% since last year. In a statement, the government reaffirmed its earlier pledge to provide greater funding for mosque security.
We take a zero-tolerance approach to all forms of hate crime, and we are committed to rooting it out wherever it exists. In addition to funding for projects and organizations which promote diversity and tolerance, we're taking steps to safeguard places of worship with a grant of over £24.5 million available this year.
But a spokesperson from Muslim Census claimed that the government isn't doing enough to tackle the issue.
The Home Office publishes a report every year on the distribution of religious hate crimes, and almost half are experienced by Muslims in this country. Now we've got places of worship included as well. Almost half of the mosques experience some form of religious attack as well. And it is a cause for concern. It is super alarming. And as a Muslim, you think, when will I experience something similar?
The most common form of attack is vandalism, followed by theft. However, many Islamic institutions have expressed deep fear that future attackers may resort to targeting innocent people as opposed to just property, as was the case outside Finsbury Park Mosque during a deadly terrorist attack targeting the establishment in 2017. Robert Carter, London.
At the conclusion of an official visit to Syria, an Iranian media delegation headed by Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting chief Peyman Jibili met with Syria's Minister of Culture. Jibili congratulated Syria for its victory on terror, asserting terrorism failed to destroy Syria's thousands of years old culture and civilization. He expressed readiness to launch joint projects with Syria in the media and cinema fields.
We discussed topics of mutual interest, such as producing joint movies and cultural documentaries. We also agreed to support joint cultural activities in both countries, like festivals. We hope such visits constitute a starting point for cultural exchange between the two brotherly peoples, because the will of leaderships of both states is to reach the highest level of cooperation.
Syrian Minister of Culture Lubana Mshawah said the war on Syria was aimed at extinguishing its national will and identity, but failed. She expressed Syria's willingness to set up work mechanisms for activating an exchange of expertise between both countries, as well as promoting Syria's culture in Iran and vice versa.
We discussed all details of our cultural cooperation, which would increase to match the level of our political relations. We want the two countries' people to know each other better, and culture is the perfect gateway for that. We ask Iran to play a role in training Syrian cadres in the cinema industry, and we hope to see soon Iranian artists performing at Al Asad House for art and culture.
The delegation wrapped up the two-day visit, which included meetings with Syria's Prime Minister and Minister of Information. Stress was laid basically on increasing collaboration and joint action to create a stronger frontline against media campaigns that want to mislead the public opinion on the truth of events in the region. Discussions focused on building up stronger relations in various sectors. Officials agreed to step up cooperation between Syrian and Iranian media outlets in an effort to counter Western propaganda against countries that support resistance. Hamad Ali, Damascus.
After years of war and blockade on Yemen, and just as hopes were being raised that the humanitarian situation will improve thanks to the UN brokered truce, the World Food Programme has announced that it is suspending humanitarian work in the country since the beginning of June. The body says it is short on funding and that obstacles to food supply due to war in Ukraine are making things worse.
There is no doubt that the decision of the World Food Programme to suspend its activities in Yemen is catastrophic and surprising. The World Food Programme announced earlier this year that it will be cutting off on humanitarian aid for Yemen due to lack of funding. The suspension of humanitarian activities is a totally different story and has major repercussions, as Yemen is facing what the United Nations calls the world's worst humanitarian crisis. Unfortunately, the UN and its food assistance programme link humanitarian aid to political and military issues.
The program now says that the Yemen humanitarian response plan for 2022 is 74% underfunded, which means the program requires $1.5 billion in funding.
What the media reported, that the World Food Programme will suspend its activities in Yemen, will lead to a humanitarian catastrophe with unimaginable consequences. We hold the United Nations fully responsible for the repercussions of halting humanitarian aid, as Yemen is in a phase of famine.
Saudi Arabia began its war on Yemen in March 2015 and has imposed a siege on the country ever since. The war has killed tens of thousands of civilians and pushed the war-torn country to the brink of famine, where almost 80% of the population depends on humanitarian aid to survive.
After all the hard work put into reaching the current truce and extending it, suspension of humanitarian aid could also undermine the political process. The United Nations should now double its efforts and change its strategies to help Yemenis in dire need of aid. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to the IRIB English Radio, and this is the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems, questions, and issues parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their offspring. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. We have with us in studio today our guest speaker, Brother Al-Musawi. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A very warm welcome to the program Islamic Upbringing.
It's always a pleasure being here.
Thank you so much for being with us. All right, brother, we have been talking about the signs that could indicate our children are going through a problem. And in our previous session, we discussed one of the problems that was in our own family. Anyways, what are the more signs you could tell our audiences that could help them indicate that their child is not well?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. So we mentioned some signs in regard to their personal, let's say, body or their state. And we said there are signs when it comes to towards their families. Now there are signs when it comes to their own gender and their own age. So, for example, boys or girls, depending on their age group, usually they interact with their own kind, with their own group age, if I can say. So sometimes when they're interacting with their own group age, Sometimes they do a lot of things that indicates there's a behavior issues. So, for example, when they meet together, there's constantly arguments. There are constantly fights. So sometimes you find the child is not happy accepting friends of his own group age. Like you say, okay, why don't you become friend with this one? He's like, no, I don't want to be friend with this one. Why don't you become friend with this one? Like, I don't want to be friend with this one. Or when you force them to become friends or you put them in the same environment, then definitely something is going to erupt. That should tell the parents that this child has a problem somewhere that needs to be looked at and diagnosed, at least.
When I heard the women talking to each other who were saying that one of the ladies was not happy that her child is going and making friends with the people who are under his age, who are like quite younger to him. But the lady had issues with that, and the other lady was saying, it's okay, what's wrong with that? So you're saying there's something wrong if a child is not making friends with the people who are not of his age.
If he's not making friends with people of his age, then there's an issue.
Yeah.
Because he should be. And sometimes you find children, even they make friends with people who are a little bit younger than them, like a couple of years younger or even a couple of years older.
Yeah.
They get along very well.
Yeah.
So those who are their age, they should be absolutely fine with having no issues.
Yeah.
So if they are not, for example, either they are not being accepted by others, or them not accepting others. That's an indication that there's a problem, there's an issue somewhere.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you put them in an environment and the child would create a problem just not to be with them anymore.
All right.
So you put them together, they have a fight, like, see, I told you, I shouldn't be friends with him. And they just want to leave. So that's obviously an issue.
Yeah.
Also, sometimes you see children who are violent and abusive towards other people. So sometimes you see two are playing and then one child comes in the middle and he just wants to either stop them from playing or hurt one of them. So if you have a child who is constantly trying to harm other kids of his age, or at least try to create a problem within the group, then also that indicates a problem with that child that needs to be looked at.
So, these signs are indicating a lot of problems we need to be looking for. Brother, I'll be talking to you, but after a very short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is the program Islamic Upbringing, and we are talking about the signs that could indicate that something is going wrong with a child. Well, brother, you were talking about these signs.
Okay. So we got to the point where we said there are some kids who want to create problems and become violent.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have kids who not only violent, but sometimes they take pleasure being violent.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, and sometimes this shows on them. So sometimes they hit somebody and they hurt someone or they break someone else's toy while they're showing signs of pride. Or like not caring at all. And you could say...
I'm more powerful.
Yeah, and sometimes you can see it in their eyes. Like, you know, they had this evil face to them when they do it.
Yeah.
So you can tell that if a child is taking pleasure in hurting another child, obviously that's a problem. Sometimes it's happening even between siblings. So sometimes you have like one child hurting his brother and he just, you know, he just takes pride in it. For example, I remember... with my kids, my daughter, she's very abusive towards her brother, even though she's like 3 years old, younger than him. But she hits him and she's like, she makes all these weird faces to indicate that she's, you know, she doesn't care.
Yeah.
So her mom would call me, it's like, your daughter's doing this to her brother, talk with her. And I'm like, why are you doing this to him? He's like, no, I don't do anything to him. But sometimes like my son, what happens when they fight, he would record her for me.
All right.
He would record after him, after her bashing him or something. And she's like, you can tell she's taking pride in it, right? Yeah. So that definitely indicates to me that she has a problem.
Yeah.
Now, either with her mother, either with her environment that she's in, or what have you. So there's a problem. So also this is something that we need to look at.
Yeah.
Sometimes when kids cheat as well, for example, whether it's in school,
yeah,
or whether it's during trying to buy something or do
lying
even a deal
sometimes
with one another or playing.
Yeah.
Like you said, so if cheating is happening at a very young age, that also indicates that we have a problem, especially if it is with their own group age.
Yeah.
Addiction, for example, is also another problem. Now we have kids who are addicted to smoking. We have kids addicted to drugs. We have kids addicted to, sadly, pornography. We have a lot of kids who are addicted, at least the minimum thing, is addicted to games.
Yeah.
Now we have game addiction.
Yeah.
It became such an addiction that we actually, in the West now, we have plenty of addiction centers,
yeah,
for gamers.
All right.
So we used to have addiction centers for gamblers and alcoholics. Now we have addiction centers for gamers, which are kids, basically,
yeah,
who spend 8 hours to 12 hours playing games, which is a problem. So addiction always comes from a background that's,
yeah,
something that's going wrong that makes him spend so much time on, for example, the game or whatever addiction that he's in. So this is also an indication.
All right. So if a child seems to be cheating, or he could be seen in some of the addictions like smoking, drugs, pornography, or even you said games, these all signs indicate that there's a problem with a child. Well, brother, I'll be talking to you, but after a short break, dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. We're talking about the signs that indicate that there's something going wrong with a child. Yes, brother, we were talking about the addictions, and apart from addictions, you said there could be some more signs as well.
So, other signs that we have to look for in a child, that sometimes we have some children who are what we call, they just like to show off, right? They're trying to prove themselves. So they're trying to seek the acceptance of everyone around them. They want to seek the attention of everyone around them. So they end up to showing off, as we call in Arabic, riya, right?
Yeah.
So they're trying to make themselves known. And
center
seen.
Of attraction.
Exactly. So they want to be, like you said, the center of attraction in everything. Now, for a child to be in this mindset, there's a problem.
Yeah.
So if the child, for example, lacks, and this is actually, we see it even with the grown-ups.
Yeah.
When you see someone who's trying to attract attention,
mm-hmm,
it means because he did not get that attention when he was a kid.
All right.
Either from his parents or either from those who are around him.
All right.
That made him feel that shortness in him that he's constantly trying to make up for it as he grows older.
Yeah.
So when a child is trying to be the center of attention,
mm-hmm,
then obviously there's an issue and there's a problem that the parents need to be very mindful of, that we need to come to his help and to his aid.
Yeah. My child was complaining that in the arena where they play, the play field, there's always one child who sometimes comes up with some different behaviors, like wearing a cap and hand gloves in summers.
Mm.
So maybe this behavior is a kind of, you know, center of attraction, the way you said.
So exactly. So sometimes this trying to become or trying to seek attention, it comes in different forms.
Yeah.
Especially now in our day, it manifests itself,
mm-hmm,
in the way they dress, the way they do their hairstyle, in the way they try to fit in with other people. Yeah. So it takes different forms. But like you said, like the example that he gave is a very direct indication that there's a problem. I mean, he's trying to seek attention in the absolute wrong way by wearing gloves and stuff in summer. So obviously that doesn't suit the environment or the place. So like I said, with children, they will do certain action that is very obvious for us as parents or as adults to know that there is something absolutely wrong with that child, that he needs a bit of help, he needs a bit of attention. Also, sometimes when you have children who are absolutely jealous of other children, that also indicates a problem. When the child constantly wanting to have what other people have and wanting to the other kids to lose what they have.
Yes.
Because this is the exact definition of jealousy.
Yeah.
So not just wanting, but you want the others to lose what they have.
Yeah.
So this is also becomes a problem if you see the child, for example, expressing himself in terms of saying, I wish they lose their toys or they break this or they lose that, and I wish I had this.
Yeah.
So that also could indicate a problem.
Jealousy.
And also stealing is a problem as well. Sometimes kids start stealing at a very young age. They start stealing from their dad's or mom's purse. Now, with kids that I know of, they're stealing their parents' credit card numbers. So they steal their credit card number and they go online and they start to buy things. So stealing also an indication that there is a problem in the behavior of the child that we need to also pay attention to.
Inshallah, parents would really look at these signs, and these signs would be really helpful for them to indicate that if there's something going wrong and fix that. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us. Please feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find us on social media platforms by searching Call of Islam Radio. You can also listen to our sessions again on our official website, that's parstoday.com. Go to Call of Islam. Until another session, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, Limits of Good Manner. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the limits and the boundaries of good manner in the Islamic lifestyle. When we talk about the good manner, obviously we need to deal with the people with kindness, with a good behavior, having a good manner, and we should be in a way so that everyone loves us. And one of the things which is very famous, and it is said that live like a person where people love you, and when you are not there, when you pass away, they cry for you, and they feel grievedness because of the loss that is happening by the death of you. So this is what good manner teaches us to how to be. And when we talk about the good manner, there are some limits. There are some boundaries of the good manner. Number one, how to have a good manner with the mu'mineen, with the other believers who are very close to us, who are our brothers. And this is what it is said in the Quran as well, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Muhammadun Rasulullah wal-ladhina ma'ahu ashidda'u ala al-kuffar ruhama baynahum. The word ruhama, they are merciful upon each other. They have mercy with each other. The mu'mineen, the believers, they are having mercy on each other. And whenever they see each other, they are meeting each other with mercy. Now, this point teaches us that when you go to the mosque, when you meet with your brother in iman, when you see them, either it's your brothers, your cousins, the people in your society, maybe in your town where you're living, if they're mu'mineen, we should meet each other with the rahmah, with the mercy, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of limits of good manner in the Islamic lifestyle. We said that the first limit is how to deal with the mu'mineen, with the believers. And we said that when we are living in a society where there are other mu'mineen living around us, the other believers are living around us, we need to meet each other with the mercy. Now, when we look at the Eastern society where we have the Muslim societies, or even in the West where we go to the mosque, we go to the Husseiniya, we attend the Muharram processions or the sittings in the Muharram, the month of Muharram, what we need to consider is that all these people are believers, like all, they are our brothers in iman, in belief. Therefore, when we need to meet them, we need to meet them with mercy, not fighting with them, not arguing with them. And if there is something that will take us towards being harsh with others, we should avoid such things because it is against the good manners. Why? Because the verse of Quran says, "Ruhama baynahum." They have mercy with each other. So when we need to have mercy with each other, we should not hate each other. We should not consider our brother in iman, our mu'min brothers and sisters, as the enemies of ourselves. Now, if we have such a ideology, if we follow such an ideology which is said by Quran, then you won't find any disputes in the families. Today, if we have disputes between husband and wife, between the brothers, cousins, or, you know, there is a family who have many disputes, it's because they are not respecting each other on the basis of iman. They are not respecting each other on the basis of Islam. And husn khulq, or the good manner, its first limitation, boundaries, is that you must respect your brother in iman, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In the limelight.
Joe Biden once vowed to make Saudi Arabia a pariah, but now he's looking to rebuild relations and many expect normalization with the Israeli regime to be on the agenda, says Khaled Amire, writer, in an article published under the heading Biden effort to rehabilitate U.S.-Saudi relations likely to include normalization with Israeli regime. Stay tuned for more. Political observers of the West Asia region are predicting U.S. President Joe Biden will seek to strike a major deal with Saudi Crown Prince and de facto King Mohammed bin Salman during Biden's upcoming visit to the kingdom, slated for mid-July, during which time he will also visit the occupied Palestinian territories and the West Bank. Biden is reportedly scheduled to attend the summit in Riyadh on July 6 with a number of Arab leaders besides MBS and or his aging father, King Salman, including the Egyptian president, Iraqi prime minister, Jordan's king, and the Emir of Qatar. Last week, the Zionist regime prime minister Naftali Bennett said that integrating Israel into the region was the main goal of Biden's upcoming visit to the region. The Jewish regime views normalization with Saudi Arabia as a strategic watershed which might lead to far-reaching changes in the political map of the West Asia region. If the Zionist regime's media is any indication, the Israeli establishment is quite enthusiastic that such a move would lead to a significant marginalization of the conflict with the Palestinians, which wouldn't seem to deter Saudi leaders. Mohammed bin Salman is widely known for his disillusionment with the Palestinian issue and is reputed to have told American Jewish leaders in 2018 that the Palestinians should take the proposals the Trump administration was offering at the time or shut up and stop complaining. This could be his chance to further that agenda. The Israeli apartheid regime, which occupies Islam's third holiest sanctuary after Mecca and Medina, must be hoping that a genuine normalization with the Saudis would significantly boost the Zionist regime's standing in the region. Israel would undoubtedly view normalization with Saudi Arabia, the native birthplace of Islam, as a great victory that is more or less equivalent, at least in its moral weight, to the Six-Day War victory over the Arabs in 1967, explained London-based Palestinian journalist Abdul Bari Atwan. He said the Saudi pendant was the ultimate prize the fake regime of Israel has been dreaming of ever since former U.S. President Donald Trump started his normalization frenzy nearly 4 years ago. Saudi King Salman affirms on every occasion the traditional position of the kingdom towards the Palestinian cause, namely that Saudi Arabia won't recognize Israel or normalize relations as long as the Palestinian issue remains unresolved. This traditional stance has been reiterated several times by Saudi Foreign Minister Faisal bin Farhan Al Saud. However, MBS doesn't seem to believe that the Palestinian issue ought to have a veto impact on Saudi freedom to pursue its national interests with other states and regimes, including the fake regime of Israel. Saudi Arabia is not just another country. It is looked as the Qibla of Muslims, which ought to represent the collective conscience of the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad. In a nutshell, normalizing with the Zionist regime is simply incompatible with the sublime status of Haram al-Sharif, which remains under Israeli regime occupation and would likely remain so following Saudi normalization. More to the point, there are real fears that a de facto Saudi embrace of Israeli expansionism and Lebensraum-like policies would encourage some reluctant Muslim states, as described in the Israeli regime media, such as Pakistan, Tunis, and Indonesia, to embark hastily toward normalization with the Zionist regime. Needless to say, such precipitous moves would effectively deal with the Palestinians' cause a fatal blow, which could spell its liquidation, at least as far as the Zionist regime is concerned. From the Palestinian point of view, a full Israeli-Saudi normalization, especially in the absence of any genuine Israeli commitment to the end of the occupation of the West Bank, including Al-Quds, would be the greatest Arab betrayal of the Palestinian cause. Since former Egyptian President Anwar Sadat visited Al-Quds and delivered a speech before the Israeli regime parliament in 1979, that visit, it is widely believed, eventually led to Sadat's assassination several months later. Western, including American media, generally ignore the all-too-obvious fact that all Arab regimes that have reached normalization agreements with the fake regime of Israel thus far are ruled by tyrannical despots and notorious human rights violators. Interestingly, Saudi Arabia happens to sit at the top of political despotism in the Arab world. This means that normalization with the Zionist regime is only formal in nature and can hardly be considered as reflecting the popular will in normalizing countries, including Morocco, UAE, Bahrain, and Sudan. It is very unlikely that the Zionist regime would promise either the Saudis or the Americans any genuine concessions with regard to East Al-Quds and Haram al-Sharif. That is apart from the symbolic gestures of goodwill, which would mean very little given the Zionist regime's notorious parsimonious negotiating patterns and arrogance. However, any concession by the Zionist regime that might significantly mitigate her grip on the occupied territory, especially the Islamic holy places in Al-Quds and Al-Khalil, would be highly unlikely in light of the Zionist regime's history of recalcitrance on such issues. Nonetheless, to help the Saudis keep face, the Biden administration might give them certain vague and loosely worded assurances regarding the Palestinian problem. However, from experience, such assurances would be utterly worthless and insignificant, as the strong side, in this case, the fake regime of Israel, would eventually adopt its own tendentious and skewed interpretation of these assurances, effectively eviscerating them of any real content. The Biden administration might not object to selling Saudi Arabia advanced weapons, including the F-35 fighters, especially if MBS pledged to make the normalization full, comprehensive, and irreversible, as the Emiratis have done. But such a high level of normalization with a regime whose troops are seen routinely murdering innocent Palestinians and demolishing Palestinian homes on a daily basis could boomerang unexpectedly on the Saudi monarch sooner or later. Joe Biden might seem careful not to seem to appear too close or too eager to normalize with Mohammed bin Salman, whom he had vowed to make a pariah, but this is occurring only in public. As to what goes on behind the curtain, that is quiet, a different story.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد عودك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
So respected brothers and sisters, welcome back to the Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Thank you so much for joining us. Look, we have four rules. Okay? Idgham, Idhar, Iqlab, and Ikhfa. So if you see this tanwin type, this type of tanwin, yes, one more on the left, one more on the right.
Right.
This type of tanwin, no matter it's kasra, dhamma, or, for example,
fatha.
So you, actually, the tanwin dhamma is different. Go to the next ayah. Qulubun yawma idhin wajifatun. One type of tanwin. Yes?
Oh, yes.
Wajifatun.
Yes.
There is a dhamma this way, and there is a, like slash, a different dhamma, like a dhamma, yes?
Yes.
Different type.
Opposite.
It's just opposite, vice versa. The next one, abusaruha
khashi'atun,
another type of tanween.
Yeah.
All right?
Both are same.
Both are the same tanween, but different styles, yes? So what does it say? Why are they written differently?
For us here are
so
same.
If they're...
It's the same for you?
Written with...
Maybe your Quran is different. I mean the printing is different.
So is it possible that in
for some
one...
Quran in Usman, sorry, in Usman Taha version, okay, we have this. Like separately they're written differently.
So is it possible that on one word there are more than one rule applied?
Yeah. Maybe.
So this so one part fatha of... written with a different, like one to the right, one to the left, means more than one rule is applied?
No.
So what is the difference?
You didn't get me. I told you, okay, this is like Tanwin is Tanwin. We do not pay attention to the types of, to the style of Tanwin, okay? It's one more on the left, one on the right, no. Or just equal. We don't pay attention to this, okay? Actually, the rule is not this, okay? That whenever you see that type of Tanwin on the top, okay, you have to do one rule. When you see one on the right, one on the left, okay, more, one type of Tanwin, or the meme, one type of Tanwin, no. This is just, this helps you more. Okay, they knew when they print the Qurans, okay, so they put these signs, okay, to remind you of the rule. But the actual rule is applied based on the letter. On the letter comes after Tanwin. Remember, okay? The rule Idgham, the rule Ikhfa, the rule Idhar, the rule Iqlab, they all are applied, they all are, okay, like we understand them. We will apply them based on the letter that comes after the Tanwin or Nun Sakin. Okay? So we will, inshallah, divide the letters, the Arabic letters, okay? Alphabet letters into four groups, okay? Into four groups that for each group we will apply one special rule. For this group, for example, for group A, we will apply the rule Idgham. For group B, we will apply the rule Iqlab. Group C, the rule Ikhfa. Then group D, for example, the rule Idhar, okay? We'll apply it. Understood? But just these types of Tanwin, okay? This the writing style, okay? If it is written on the top, yes? Two fatha on the top, exactly on the top, no space, okay? Or Tanwin Kasra exactly on the top of each other, no space. Or Tanwin Dhamma, that Tanwin, special Tanwin, okay? So it will tell you that, yeah, that rule that you studied, for example, Idgham, you should apply this one. This help you, another sign.
And yes? This is a hint, just.
Just a hint. Just a hint. Okay, it's just a hint. We'll go through them, okay? So, are you ready to go to some verses? Let's recite them, okay? And we will apply the rules, but not talking about them yet, okay? We have not started them yet, yes?
Yes.
Clearly, what is Izhar, what does Ikhfa mean? No. But just let's recite some ayahs from Surah An-Nazi'at, okay?
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
So, the ayah 19, right? Ayah 19.
Yes.
وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَىٰ
وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَىٰ
Okay, رَبِّكَ, right?
فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَىٰ
فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَىٰ
Inshallah, when we get to the rules, okay, I will tell you.
فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَىٰ
فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَى
ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَى
ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَى
فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَى
فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَى
فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى
فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى
رَبُّكُمْ We have idgham here, okay? I will tell you what does idgham mean, inshallah.
رَبُّكُمُ
We'll come to them, okay?
فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى
فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى
إِنَّ In this ayah we have
إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى
إن في ذلك لعبرة لمن يخشى
We learned, we had studied that Tanwin produces an an sound, in sound, un sound. But why did we recite لعبرة تل?
There's a تشديد on لام.
Okay, what about لمن? Nun Sakin produces an un sound.
So, no, we...
Why we didn't say liman yakhsha? Huh? What's the answer?
Then, because noon is there, it has no harakah, so we...
No, because okay, we'll study, inshallah.
The rule says this.
When lam come, we should not pronounce the noon as akin.
Lam mushadda?
Ya come also, we should not pronounce.
Aha, you are to some extent right, to more extents left. I mean wrong, okay? So the rule says, inshallah, we'll study that. Whenever noon sakin is there, then ya is there, okay? You should merge or insert this noon sound to the ya sound.
Limay also, mim yakhra. We have.
You will sacrifice the noon sound because of the ya sound. Limay yakhra.
So here we give like ya a tashdeed. Limay yakhra.
That's it.
Ah, I said correct.
Yeah, that's the rule, okay?
Yes.
But we are applying, okay? So inshallah, we'll go through each of them and we'll take a look at them. That why and when. Okay, when should we apply the rule idgham? When we should apply the rule idhar?
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
Next ayah. أَأَنتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ
أَأَنتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ
Great. أَأَنتُمْ Why? Noon ساكن. أَأَنتُمْ Easily say أَأَنتُمْ Okay. Why do you say أَأَنتُمْ Why, Mr. Teacher?
Beautify.
It's purifying the yeah. That's the tajweed. That's all about tajweed. أَأَنتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ Look, in لِمَنْ يَخْشَى Look, what, how do we say? We prolong the sound. لِمَنْ يَخْشَى And also the noon sakin sound will be deleted or will be merged into ye sound. But why not in dhamma خَلْقًا خلقا أمي السماء Why not this way? Yes? خلقا Why do we clearly pronounce the tanween sound? Why not in the previous word, the previous ay that we had?
Because
لَعِبْرَةً لِمَا يَخْشَى Why not?
Because after thought there is a tashdeed.
No, because here, yes.
When we tashdeed comes, we should idgham.
I'm just raising questions in your mind, okay? To help you, like, be ready, okay? For the rules.
Intentionally, asking.
Yes. So, inshallah, we'll say, look, we have hamza after tanween. So, inshallah, the rule says that if tanween is followed by a hamza, so hamza is the throat letter. So, in this case, you do not have to merge the sound of tanween. The sound of tanween must be clearly pronounced. خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ Do not say خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ No, nothing. Just the tanween must be clearly pronounced. That's it.
Sure, when we say the rule says this, you say this is wrong.
No, you said the wrong rule, okay?
You ask, why is this like this?
You're saying the wrong rules, okay? That's why I'm saying it's wrong.
You said why it is written like this. I said the rule said.
The rule says, so what is the rule? You do not say that. That's why I prove it wrong. Next ayah. Again, this ayah. Let's repeat because one part we didn't recite.
أَأَنتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ أَأَنتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ بَنَاهَا رَفَعَ سَمْكَهَا فَسَوَّاهَا
رَفَعَ سَمْكَهَا فَسَوَّاهَا
وَأَغْطَشَ لَيْلَهَا وَأَخْرَجَ ضُحَاهَا
وَأَغْطَشَ لَيْلَهَا وَأَخْرَجَ ضُحَاهَا
أَخْ هِي بِسَوْا وأغ look, both are heavy sounds.
Yes.
وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها
وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها
والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها
والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها
أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها
أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها
أحسنتم منها look we have nun ساكن why we do not merge it to ha مها yeah we're and for example in the previous ayah لمي نون ساكن was merged with ye but here نون ساكن will not be merged to ha
the rule says
so what's the rule inshallah in the coming session the next session we will go through each of them specifically okay in details we'll start inshallah with the rule ilhar and we will cover them all okay Hussein Musa
yes
okay so do you have any questions
nope
no
now you understand why we will be like reading studying the rules of tanween and nun sakin right you have enough questions in your mind yes
yes
so about nun sakin and tanween inshallah we'll go through them so thank you so much alhamdulillah we finished like the light letters and heavy letters and started our new topic so stay with us with the very very important rules okay the rules of tanween and nun sakin izhar idgham ikhfa and iqlab okay these are very important so see inshallah in the next coming session stay with us join us again inshallah thank you so much walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin
allahumma salli ala muhammad wa ali muhammad
special thanks goes to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network inshallah let's recite a salawat again
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraja
Let's recite the Quran A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio.